you, Dave and Darren. Very good. He is the champion. Amen. Micah 6, verses 6 through 8, the Bible says, "Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God?" That's a good question. That's the title, "Wherewith shall I come before the Lord?" Excellent question. "Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression?" Can you imagine that anyone would do that? Yet people do stranger things, and they do more outlandish things than that to come to their God. It's amazing. It's amazing in other countries especially. You'll see people that will sacrifice a child to find God somehow. How can I come before the Lord? How can I do this? And they will do many, many different things. It says, will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? How can I come to my God? I've got sin in my life. And then verse 8, "He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." Wherewith shall I come before the Lord? How can I do it? How can I come before the Lord? What is the possibility? What is the way? Do you understand? A whole world is kind of wondering about that. I understand there are those that say, "Well, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God." But the truth is, there is a God consciousness with every human being. We're made in His image. And I don't care what anybody tells you. I don't care how far they may seem and how hard they may seem. Everybody, in their back of their mind, they wonder about that question. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord? And I want to talk to you about that this morning and challenge you from this passage. Father, bless the preaching. Please speak to our hearts. And I pray if there's anyone not saved today, I pray they'll get saved. And I pray for Christians that you'll challenge us as well, Lord, we would take heed to the Scripture. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So many religions in this world. And the whole idea of these religions and all religion, I would guess, would be that they want to meet God, they want to know God, and in many cases, they want to get something from God. And there are certainly many folks like that. And the question here from the prophet is our title, "Wherewith shall I come before the Lord?" Every man is given a God consciousness. Every human being has a consciousness and awareness that there is a God. And I believe every man has an awareness, a consciousness of their sin. And that they're not worthy somehow. And it's always been that way, that man has tried to figure some way out, they think, to somehow come before the Lord, to come before God. And, deep down, they know their imperfections deep down. By the way, what kind of a God would it be that is lower than us? What kind of a God would we have or would we ever be interested in that we're somehow greater than they are or we're even equal to them? Which, again, I'm not sure how the Mormons figured all that out, but not Rick, but the Mormon religion, where they all become gods. I don't want to be greater than my God. I don't want to be equal to my God. I need a God that's God. And anyway, the point is, the question is asked over and over and over, how can I come before God? How is it possible? Of course, Judah here in the context has committed great, great sin. And God always deals with sin. There's never going to be a time God doesn't deal with sin. Understand, that's what the cross is all about. That's what Calvary is all about. God dealing with sin. And God always deals with sin. And of course, Judah is being dealt with here. And the question comes up, okay, so how can we come before God? So I've got 4 points I want to give you this morning that deal with that. Number one is this request, the request. And the request is really quite simple. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? I know I need to. I know that I'm not worthy. I know that I'm not able to in and of myself as far as there must be something. There's got to be some formula. There's got to be some way that I can come before the Lord. There's got to be some method. And so the question, and again, the question has been asked over and over. Now understand, folks, we all need to realize that God wants us to come to Him. I mean, God has always wanted us to fellowship with Him. God wants you to fellowship with him. Proof that God wants us to fellowship with him is in the fact that he gave his only begotten son to die on a cross so we could fellowship with him, so we could be reconciled to him. I mean, proof is the cross of Jesus Christ, the cross upon which he died. Proof that God would give everything. He would give his very best so that we could fellowship with him. I mean, I don't think there's any question. God wants it. You know, when man says, I want to fellowship with God, when man says, wherewith shall I come before the Lord? You have to understand that God in heaven is saying, I want you to. I want you to come to me. I want you to fellowship with me. Adam and Eve had great fellowship with God in the Garden of Eden. The Bible talks about it daily. They walked together in the Garden of Eden, and they had wonderful fellowship together until sin. Understand, God did not break the fellowship with man. Sin broke the fellowship between man and God. It wasn't God's fault. It wasn't God's choice. God always wants fellowship. By the way, the reason you're not fellowshipping with God, if you're not, is because of sin. The reason you don't spend time with God is because of sin. There may have been a time that you fell down before God, and maybe every morning you had time with God, or maybe it was every evening, or maybe like the psalmist, morning and evening and at noon will I pray and cry to God. I mean, maybe there was a time that you had a close fellowship with God, but where's that gone? It isn't God that said, hey, I don't want this anymore. It isn't God that said, I'm tired of your prayers. It isn't God that said, I'm not interested in you. No, it was our sin. It's always us. It's always our sin that breaks the fellowship with God. That God desires it. God desires it more than man. And so man puts forth his own efforts to try to get this fellowship back. We see it in the very beginning with Adam and Eve. A man realizes Adam and Eve sin against God, and they realize the Bible says they're naked. And so what do? They say, we got to figure this out. We've got to come up with a way so we can have that fellowship back with God. And so they sew fig leaves together to cover themselves. Again, the whole idea is we've got to cover up this sin somehow. And so they try it with their own works. Fig leaves. You say, that's kind of a foolish thing. And yet all these years, man's been doing the same thing over and over and over again. I mean, there may be somebody in here, you know, you sit here with your fig leaves, your works, your man's effort to try to cover up the sin that is committed. And you know, with Adam and Eve, the fig leaves didn't work. They never will work. And man's works cannot work. For by grace he is saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And Adam and Eve, they tried to work their way into fellowship with God by making and sewing together their fig leaves to cover themselves and to cover up their sin. But what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And God demonstrates that to Adam and Eve when he takes an innocent animal and kills that animal in the garden and uses the skins to cover Adam and Eve. Of course, later God would take his own son and allow him to die on an old rugged cross so his blood could cover our sins. Man has always tried to put forth his own efforts. Well, here's what I think. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord? Well, this is what I think. This is what I think I should do. Here's what I think is the best way. And Adam and Eve, they tried to cover it up with their fig leaves. Cain tried to come up with his own sacrifice. God very clearly, I promise you, taught Adam and Eve that it took blood. They saw it with the fig. They had fig leaves. Hey, we're covered. No, you're not. And he kills an animal and takes the skin of that animal and teaches them about the blood. And Cain says, you know what? I'm going to do the same thing Mom and Dad did. I'll try to cover up my problems with my own kind of a sacrifice. And he brings them sacrifice of the earth instead of blood. He tries with a worldly sacrifice. You say, that seems like another foolish thing. And yet people bring worldly sacrifices to God all the time saying, hey, I want to get right with you. I want to walk with you. And you're not going to bring something worldly to God and expect God to accept that. It just doesn't even make sense. But the request is made, wherewith shall I come before the Lord? Man has been trying. Man has concocted, man has formulated, man has built huge religious systems whereby we can come. Sometimes you'll have to light some candles, and then you can come before the Lord. Sometimes you have to put some money in the plate, then you can come before the Lord. Sometimes you have to go into a little box where another human being is in a box next to you, and then you have to tell them all the wicked things that you just did. And boy, that was a great idea to use on kings and princes and leaders. Amen. I mean, that's a tremendous idea. And boy, you know, you do all that. And sometimes you have to say so many Hail Marys. And sometimes you have to say so many Hail Judes. And you have to pray to certain saints. And you have to put little statues out. And there's all kinds of systems out there. All kinds of ideas out there. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord is the request that is made. Because we need God. And we've done something wrong. And so how can I do this? And so, good night. I mean, I don't know, the list of religions years ago, somebody printed off, I think it was one of my classes in school. And I mean, it was huge. Unbelievable. All these systems designed whereby a person can come before the one they call God. Number two is the response. And so here's what man has done. As I just said, there's all these systems. And the response is clear here in Scripture. Verse 6, it says, "Shall I come before him this way, with burnt offerings, calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams?" In other words, not just one, but thousands of rams, 10,000s of rivers of oil. "Shall I give my firstborn?" In other words, offer my child as a sacrifice. Should I that do it? Would that cause him to listen to me, where I can pray and I can ask my requests and I can receive and the firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Is that what it's going to take? In other words, what kind of thing can I do? Here's man's response. We'll do. We'll do this, we'll do this, we'll do this. We'll do a religious ritual. Do you know it's easy to be religious? Do you understand? Honestly, it is easy to be religious. It really is. By the way, if you had thousands of rams to give, then there probably isn't really much sacrifice involved in that. If you had 10,000s of rivers of oil, it's probably not such a big deal. But none of that is really the issue. Here, the whole idea is if we'll go through these motions, will that please the Lord? Will that bring us to our God? If we'll go through all these motions, is that what it's going to take? Wherewith shall I come before the Lord? That's the request. The response of man is, okay, we will be religious. We'll do this. We will go through all of these motions, and you have chants, and you have rituals, and you have traditions, and the world is full of those things. I mean, it is absolutely amazing how many of those things. And what's the design? What's the reason? Why crawl up the steps? Why do all? Well, because that's what our God expects. That's what he wants. The question was asked years ago, is this what it is? Is this what it takes? Is it ritual that we're after? Look at Isaiah 1. Keep your place here in Micah. Go to Isaiah chapter 1. And verse 11. Isaiah 1 and verse 11. "To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me?" Now, don't misunderstand. The sacrificial system was set up by God. We know that. No question about that. But understand this. It was never set up by God to give man forgiveness of his sins. It was set up by God. Why? To point to Jesus. Who would die on the cross to pay for our sins. It was set up by God to show that blood had to be shed. It was set up by God to show that the sacrifices of bulls and goats and all these, they could never take away sin. But it was set up to point man to Jesus. It was set up to point man to the one who could take away their sin. It was set up to point man to the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. To what purpose, verse 11, is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I'm full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Now, the word vain there, vain means empty. Why? Because all you're doing is a religious ritual. That's all you're doing. It's empty. Incense is an abomination unto me, the new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting, your new moons, your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They're a trouble unto me. I am weary, he says, to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I'll hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wow. Man says, wait a minute, here's our system. Here's our process. Here's our way. We'll make idols and we'll set them up. We'll have rituals and we'll do them faithfully. We'll go through, we'll chant and we'll praise and we'll say all these things and we'll do it faithfully. And we'll have certain days that we do these things. We'll have certain months that we set aside. We'll do all of that because wherewith shall I come before the Lord? God said, I'm not interested in your rituals. I'm not interested in anything that is vain, empty. I mean, you could sacrifice everything you have. You could bring it to an altar and all that. That's easy. Number three, we have the revelation. Go back to Micah. Keep your place here in Isaiah. We're going to go back there. But look at verse 8. When all this is asked, he hath showed thee, O man. He has showed thee. The revelation. Hey, you want to ask, wherewith shall I come before the Lord? He's already showed you. He told you how to come. He already showed us. He has showed thee, O man, what is good. Do you understand? It's never been about religion with God. People want to point out that, you know, they want to say, well, you know, you Christians, you were involved in the crusade. We weren't. We weren't crusader. We weren't killing people for the cause of Christ. You can't kill people for the cause of Christ. Amen. Do you understand? Listen to me. It's about this. It's about my son, give me thine heart. That's what it's about, my son. I could give you all the bullocks out here, but I don't want your bullocks. Why? But I can give you this oil, and I'll offer it as an incense for you. And boy, this is no. I don't want that. What is it you want then, God? I want your heart. I'm after your heart. Well, my heart's dirty. That's exactly right. And I've provided a way so it can be clean. Because I want your heart. Do you understand how easy religion is? Do you realize how easy it would be? Again, I'm not too excited. Let's say, I wanted to confess all my sins, and so Tim gets a little box, and I get a little box, and I just tell him everything, and 10 seconds later, we're out of there. And okay, 10 hours later. But do you understand how easy it is to just put a little statue out in the yard? And every now and then walk by it and rub it on the head and say Hail Mary or something. Do you understand how easy that is? Do you realize how simple it would be to simply have some little beads that you rub and again, I'm just, you know, whatever the ritual might be. It could be Catholicism, it could be anything. Whatever the ritual. Do you understand? It could be the Baptist ritual. Do you understand how easy it'd be if all religion is just come sit in church? I mean, do you understand how easy the ritual would be? Simply, well, you know, I read my Bible every day. I read a couple of chapters every day, and that's it. I mean, really, that's not too hard. Do you understand how easy it'd be to say, before you eat, good food, good meat, good Lord, let's eat? And that's pretty much what we do. Or at the end of the day, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Amen. He said, well, preacher, now wait a minute. I understand you're talking about the idol in the yard, and I understand you're talking about the little beads, and now you're talking about what I do at my house. My son, give me thine heart. All he's ever wanted is our heart. That's what he wants. He wants me. He doesn't want my corral of bullocks. Okay. He doesn't care about all my canisters of oil. You know what he wants? He wants me. He wants you. He, you know, the building's nice, the lights are great, the stained glass, it's pretty. But you know what he cares? He cares about who's sitting in those pews. He cares about who's in the classrooms. He cares about the little babies in the nursery. He wants us. Amen. He wants our heart. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord? I build a system. He's not interested in your system. You know, he's interested in every individual person to come to him. And that's why we go back to Isaiah. You know, he said, he's telling about their idolatry and just, you know, all the stuff you're doing. And by the way, again, he set up that sacrificial system. But you know what's happening? Folks are doing the sacrificial system, but they didn't care about him. They're going through all the motions, but they don't love him. They're going through the motions all week long and sinning and going against God. And then when it's time to do their religious thing, well, we'll do that. But there's nothing here. He said, I'm sick of it. And that's why he said in verse 16, Isaiah 1 and verse 16, after all that, he said, wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. He said, I'm tired of all your stuff that you do in the name of meeting with me. I want you. I want you. And God's revelation, as he said in Micah, he said, I've already shown you what I want. I want you. He said, I've shown you. I want you. I want your heart. I want your life. I want you. I don't want your religion. I don't want your religiousness. I want you. You say, yeah, but preacher, when I feel good when I give him a bullock. I feel good when I give him oil. I feel good when I come to church and I sit. And I feel good when I get out my Bible. And I feel good about all those kind of things. And I can be religious and I feel really good about it. But understand this. It's not bringing you to him. What he's looking for is your heart. What he's looking for, he had when Adam and Eve were in the garden with him the first time. And he had their heart. They loved him, and he loved them. And then sin. You say, yeah, but preacher, you don't understand. There's no way I could ever come to him because my heart's dirty. Well, that's why he told us what to do. That's why he gave us his revelation, which is his word. He told us what to do. He said in verse 18, as he talked to them about all the religiousness and the ritual they went through, and he said, wash you. But here's what he said in verse 18. He said, come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet. That's always going to be true. Do you understand? It's always, our sin is always there. Yeah. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord? Well, you're going to have to come through the blood of Jesus Christ, because that's the only way to make the scarlet sin white. Red on red, white. That's the only way. It's not possible any other way. Sin must be dealt with. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord? Oh, there's only one way. Sin has to be dealt with. I don't care how many works you do. Don't care how many good things you do. It does not matter. It cannot get us before the Lord until sin is dealt with. And when Jesus died on the cross, he dealt with our sin. But here's Deuteronomy 10 and verse 12. Keep your place in Micah. Deuteronomy 10, verse 12. We'll actually go back to Isaiah 2. And then eventually I'll start preaching. Deuteronomy 10 and verse 12. You say, yeah, but you only have one point left. It's a long one. It says in Deuteronomy 10:12, "And now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul." That's what he means in Micah when he said, I've already told you what to do. I've already told you. You know, but I've got all these bullocks. I've collected them, and now I'll. No, he said, "Look, here's what I want. I want you to fear the Lord. I want you to walk in my ways. I want you to love me, and I want you to serve me with all your heart and with all your soul." That's what I want. I want your heart. That's what God says. He doesn't want your religion. He wants your heart. Deuteronomy 30, verse 11. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 11. The Bible says, "For this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It's not in heaven, that thou should say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it." He said, "It's not hidden." He said, it's very open. "Neither is it beyond the sea, that thou should say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. By the word, but the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it." His word is so clear. What do you want, God? I just want your heart. I want you. I want you to serve the Lord thy God with all your heart and all your soul. Do you understand? If all I have to do is kill a bullock every time I sin, then I just need to make sure I make enough money to have enough bullocks. Amen. Be a lot, wouldn't it? Yeah. All I have to do is just give you vials of oil every time I sin. Well, okay, I'll go into the oil production business. You know, and just make sure I have plenty of oil, olive oil. You know, and just make sure I've got enough of it. And as long as I have enough of it, but you know what? You know what he says? He said, "But I don't want that. I just want your heart. I want your heart. I recognize if I have your heart, that you'll still sin. But I want you to want not to sin. I want you to want not to do evil. I want your wanter." Yeah, but God, I can do my own thing and bring you a bullock. I can do my own thing and give you some oil. I can have fun in the world and be as worldly as I want to be and simply do some religious thing. Won't that please you, God? "Wherewith shall I come before the Lord?" And for years and years and years and years and years, and it still goes on today, we come to the Lord with our religion, and all he wants is our heart. You see, he doesn't want outward only. He wants our heart, and our heart leads to the outward. He's not against the outward. The outward's all good. The outward's fine. But if you came today to church just to come to church because it's a religious thing, you think somehow that's gonna help you with your relationship with God. I got news for you. He's after your heart. He's not after your church membership. He's not after your baptism. You know, well, I got a certificate. I've hung it somewhere where everybody can see it. And by the way, that's not a bad thing to do. But if you got a certificate of baptism, but he doesn't have your heart, then your certificate might as well be burnt, because he wants your heart. It's always been that way. The revelation is very, very clear in the scripture. That's what he's always been after. My heart. That's what he wants. My heart, so that I will obey him. But we mess up. And if we do, and we do, and we will, we confess our sin, and then he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We don't bring him a bullock. We don't light another candle. We don't put more money in the plate, though Tim wouldn't mind if you did. That isn't how we do it. We go to him because he's our Father, because we're saved, because he sent his Son to die on the cross and to make it possible that we could fellowship with him. Back to Isaiah 1, and then we'll get into Micah and we'll be done. Isaiah 1 continues, and he talked about all the religiousness and all the rituals and all the things you do. In verse 16, he said, "Wash you, make you clean." Verse 18, he told us how that our sins are scarlet. They could be as white as snow. That is through the blood of Jesus. But here's what he says. He says, verse 19, "If ye be willing." and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land, if ye be willing and obedient. What's that? That's somebody who says, here's my heart. If you be willing and obedient. By the way, he goes on and he says, but if you refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with a sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. If you be willing and obedient. One more verse and we'll get back to Micah. 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. 1 Samuel 15, 22. He said, I told you, you've seen it. It's all through the scripture. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. What's he want? What? He wants me to obey from my heart. What's he want? He wants my heart. What's he want? He wants your heart. He doesn't want your religion. He you know, oh yeah, but religiously I have had my membership all these years, and that's fine, that's great. But you know what? Wherewith shall I come before the Lord? Not because you're a Berean Baptist church member. You come before the Lord because you're saved. Because you've been born again, because you did what he said. But what'd you do? You simply obeyed what he said to do. He said you have to get saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You have to do it his way. And so the question, well, what doth the Lord require? Verse 8. I mean, we've seen the request is, wherewith shall I come before the Lord? The response of man was religion. The revelation from God is, I already showed you how you come before me. And you come before me with your heart, not with your works. You come. Why is it we have this idea as Christian? I need to get saved by faith. I need to trust Christ, but then I'm going to work the rest of it. That isn't what he said. You know what? He wants your heart Sunday morning. He wants your heart Sunday night. He wants your heart throughout the week. It's not a matter of, oh, well, I got to go to church. No, you don't got to go to church. It's a matter of, God, I want to get closer to you. I got to pray. No, it's not a got to pray. It's I get to pray. God, I want to spend time with you. I've got to read my Bible because they told me in class I had to. It's not a matter of, I've got to read my Bible. It's a matter of, God, I want to know more. I've given you my heart. I want you to have my heart. Adam and Eve could have brought all kinds of works. They sowed fig leaves. I don't know. You know, they knew deep down they weren't going to work because they still hid. But the truth, you know, I mean, God, we spent a lot of time on these. These are Paris originals. You know, I mean, these are the best fig leaves that you could ever imagine. It's not impressive to God if he doesn't have our heart. You understand all the promotions in the world that you get at work. It's not impressive to God if he doesn't have your heart. All the raises, all the things, and all the, they gave me a plaque that says I'm a good guy, and all of that. It's not God. It doesn't impress God unless he has your heart. He wants our heart. He wants our fellowship with our wholehearted, our heart, our soul, our life. And he reiterates again from the verse in Deuteronomy, what doth the Lord require of thee? Well, what's his requirement? Well, it says here, first of all, to do justly. To do justly. It's a requirement. What's he wants me to do justly? What do you mean? Well, justice is simply fairness, to give everyone what's coming to them. That's what justice is all about. Somebody breaks a law, then justice says that they have to be punished for breaking that law. Old Testament says eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. I know that's hate speech today, but that's justice. You know, somebody does, you know, you give them what's coming to them. Justice. And as far as our salvation, he said, you need to do justly. So what's the first thing I need to get saved? First of all, that's just the right thing to do. That is to do right. That's to give God what he deserves. You know, nobody in this world has a right to be lost. God gave his son so they could be saved. Nobody has a right to be unsaved. It's also the only smart thing a person could do is to get saved. I mean, God gives us a world. He gives us air to breathe, water to drink, food to eat. He gives all of that, and no human has a right to use this earth without getting saved. They should get saved. That's justice. That's what he said. It's the only just thing to do. God gave his son to die on a cross, and justice says you ought to get saved. That's just justice. By the way, justice says if you don't get saved, you're going to go to hell. That's giving us what we deserve, to give everyone what's coming to them. Do justly. Do right. That's what justice is. Just do right. Okay? If we don't do right, then we cannot please God. Do you understand? Now, we can get saved and our sins are under the blood and praise God, but that doesn't excuse us for saying, you know what? I'm just going to do some motions here to hope that that'll get God off my back. God loves you. God knows what's best for us. And going through the motions never impresses God. So he says, do justly. Do right. Get saved. That's the right thing to do. Get baptized. That's the right thing to do. It's only right. Fig leaves aren't going to cut it. So I get baptized and I'm going to tell everybody, hey, I'm getting baptized because of the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm getting baptized because I got saved. I trusted Christ as my Savior. And I want everybody to know. I identify with his death, his burial, his resurrection. And I'm going to get baptized. I'm not ashamed of him. I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. That's just. It's just doing right. He sent his son to die for me. I'm going to get saved. And I'm not going to let everybody know that I got saved. I'm not going to broadcast it where I can. And certainly in a baptismal tank or in a lake, in a river, in a pond. I'm not going to let people know that I trusted Christ as my Savior. That's justice. It's giving God what he deserves. It's giving God the glory that's due to his name, getting baptized. It's saying, I've decided to follow Jesus. I'm not ashamed of him. That's just. It's just right. Again, I'm not the one that gave the requirement. You say, yeah, but it'd be a lot easier for me to just kill one of my bullocks. Yeah, it would. I understand. You think it's tough today to get baptized? You think it's tough today to testify for Jesus? How about in the early church day? I mean, in the early church day, you could lose your life, and many did, upon getting baptized. Yeah. Many countries in our world, many countries, by the way, you don't hear about that on the news, but many countries, Christians are dying for their faith. Well, but preacher, you know, I mean, people might make fun of me but it's just right. Do justly. That's what you say. Yeah, but to say do justly, it'd be a lot easier if all I had to just give some vials of oil every now and then. That should take care of things. Say a few Hail Marys. Like the newspaper says, newspaper, see what's on my mind. The newspaper says, we just pray to Jude and pass this on to 30 people and everything's going to be all right. That's a lot easier than getting baptized. It's a whole lot easier than tithing. That's just justice. It's just the right thing. God said, okay, 10% belongs to God. What's the Lord require? He wants you to do right, do justly. Okay? Now, he's given you 100%, but he just said, I want 10% back. Well, no, I work hard. And who gave you the ability? Who gave you the job? Who opened the doors and everything? Who gave you the breath to breathe so you could work the job? Who gave you the job? I mean, come on. It is unjust for us to rob God. Oh, you don't understand, though. I help people cross the street. I do nice. So in other words, we're going to hold a gun to God and say, God, I want your 10%. I'm going to use it for myself, but I'm going to do some good things. That'll offset it. That's like taking that bullock and offering it and the vials of oil and offering them and it doesn't work with God. God said, I want you to do right. Tithing is right. Uh-huh. I mean, he keeps giving, and then we don't give. He keeps giving, keeps giving, keeps giving, and then we rob him of 10%. That's not just. You know it's wrong. And again, I don't care how religious you might be. If you don't tithe, you're stealing from God. And if you don't tithe, you are not obeying what he said is a requirement. Do justly. It's just making things right. It's giving him what he deserves. Does he deserve 100%? Sure he does. But he doesn't require that. He said 10% is mine. The tithe is the Lord's. And again, so many won't even pray about faith promise. Won't even pray about it. Oh, you know, I don't have anything. That's why it's called faith promise. It's giving what you don't have. How do you give what you don't have? See, you don't understand. You're not getting it. Did you give him your heart? Did you get saved? How'd you get saved? By faith. That's how you give to God. Amen. By faith. But some won't even pray about it. It's just not even, you know, I don't even. But we'll go through all the motions of religion. Why? Well, wherewith shall I come to the Lord? I have to come to the Lord, and because sometimes I'm going to be sick, and I need him. And sometimes I'm going to have problems, and I need him. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord? I've got bullocks all saved up in the pen. I've got barrels and barrels and barrels of oil, and I can be just as religious as anybody can. And yet God says, yeah, but there's things I just told you. Do justly. Do justly. What if I brought in some rich person and Bill Gates, all right? We get him in here, and he says he will, for the rest of your life, he'll provide all your needs, everything you need, your house, utilities, cars, little spending money here and there every now and then. He'll provide all your needs. All you have to do is give him 10% back. Would anybody take him up on that? I promise you. If you don't, you're not very smart. Isn't that what God does for us? Sure he does. And we somehow feel like, you know, but here's what it is, okay? You get away with it, I understand, you think you do. I understand that. By the way, he gets it. One way or another, he gets it. But here's the, it's not just. It's not right. In fact, it is wrong. Amen. Amen. And so we say, I want to come before the Lord, and we want to come with our way. We've got it all figured out. We have our system, and yet God says, but I already told you how to come before me. Here is my way. My way is you have to come through the blood of Jesus Christ, or you're not coming at all. And my way is you have to do right. That's how you're going to please me, when you do right. When you choose to do right. And when you steal from me, that's not right. What else can we do justly? Well, how about doing God's will? That's whatever he wants. That's what he said. I want your heart. I want your soul. What's that mean? That means just simply obey him. We belong. I belong to you, God, and it's up to you. What's that mean? That means don't gripe. Don't complain. Don't have a snarl on your face all the time. You know? I just don't feel like serving God, but you have no right to not serve God. You're his. I'm his. I have no right. Would you always feel like it? Don't always feel like it. But justice says, I have no right. I'm bought with a price. I'm to glorify God in my body and my spirit, which are God's. My body, I'm supposed to be busy for him. My spirit, I'm supposed to rejoice because it brings glory to him. I have no right to do anything else. You say, I'm backslidden. You have no right to be backslidden. Well, you know, I'm not hurting anybody. But you are hurting somebody. And all the bullocks in the world isn't going to undo it. Justice says, I will be right with God. Justice says, I will get on an altar if I need to. Justice says, I will do right and I will obey my God because that's what I'm supposed to do because I'm bought with a price. I have no choice but to do His will. I have no right to do my will. Doing justly. Doing justly is paying our debts. Paying our debts to God. Well, I made a vow to God, but I don't really like the vow that I made. I told Him I would do this, but I've changed my mind. You have no right. Amen. You told God you're going to do something, now you do it. I remember my first faith promise pledge years and years ago. I was a new Christian and didn't know anything about any of that, but I just remember the preacher preaching about it and said, if you make a deal with God, you tell God you're going to trust by faith to do this, you better do it. And I pledged $5 a week. Couldn't believe it. Back in those days, I was a teenager, just saved. And it was like $5 a week. Where am I going to get $5 a week? I mean, wow. Of course, you could fill up the car for $5 a week. And, you know, but I remember one week came and I didn't have the $5. And, well, I did. By the way, you do too. What'd that mean? Well, that meant something wasn't going to get bought for $5 if I gave God His $5 that I told Him I would. But you know, I got to thinking about that. I don't want God mad at me. I don't want to tell God I'll do something and not do it. And you know what? I paid my whole that whole year, paid that faith promise, and paid it like I was supposed to and on time. Because I was scared. I don't wanna tell God. I mean, you know, I may be able to I'd rather rip off the bank than God. You make a deal. By the way, you make a deal with the bank. Justice says you got to pay that too. You know, I'm one of these people. I kind of believe this. I believe that if you owe people money and you're not keeping your agreement with people, you shouldn't go out and buy anything else. You ought to take care of that requirement. But that's really meddling. And I know it's a, you say, well, I can't. You know, there's no way I can do. Sell your TV, sell your DVD player and your fancy car, whatever it is you have to say. You have no right to have it if you aren't keeping your agreement with other people. Because it's justice. We're supposed to do justice. By the way, if everybody did justly, people would be so happy. Amen. You say, crooks wouldn't. No, but crooks are crooks. What's the biggest problem is all the crooks that offer a bullock every now and then, throw a bullock to God and say, you know, this ought to take care of everything, and they think it does, but to God it doesn't. We're supposed to do justly. Amen. Amen. I know it's not fun. It's not very fun, but justice is to use the talents God gave me. Justice is if I can sing. I say I was excited. Darren got up and sang today. I think it's the first time he's ever sang in church, and he probably was somewhat terrified, but he has a talent. He can sing, and he let God use him. And there's folks all over the place. You know, you have a talent. You have an ability to sing. You have an ability to teach. You have an ability to do. You have ability, and you say, "Well, I'm not going to do it. You know, I don't want to do that. Or I don't want to keep the agreement that I need to, or whatever it is. It's not just." And God says, "Here's you want to know what I want? I want you to do justly." That's what I want. I want you to do justly. There's so many. Could drive a bus, get a CDL. Yeah, but you know that's a pain. But you know He's God. He bought you. It's just to do right. That's all it is. Simply to do right. That's just. That's justice. Amen. He says not only do justly, but He also said to love mercy. You know, of all people, I mean, Christians are, well, I'd rather just give a bullock. I'd rather just give a vial of oil than to love mercy. And yet, do we love the mercy He showed us? Boy, I do. Amen. Amen. You don't have to go through the Psalms very far, but you run into God's mercy over and over again. Aren't you glad God showed mercy to you? Oh, I'm so glad. We all deserve hell. Every one of us deserves to burn in hell forever. And yet God's mercy made it possible that we would not have to burn in hell forever. Oh, thank God for that. But He says this. He says, okay, here's what. Wherewith shall we come before the Lord? I want you to do justly. That's one of my requirements. Then I want you to love mercy. That's to love His mercy, but that's to love mercy in and of itself. What's He mean? Well, that means the same mercy that He showed me, I need to show other people. Ephesians 4:32, very familiar verse. Look at it real quick. Ephesians 4:32. I'm so close to being done, it's amazing. It really is. Ephesians 4, verse 32. It says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God." Now He tells us how. "As God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Well, I just can't forget. For Christ's sake. That's how I'm supposed to forget. That's how I forget. For Christ's sake. Okay? For Christ's sake. Brother Holland sent me a nasty text the other day. It really wasn't nasty. But anyway, I'm kidding him about it. How can I forgive him? Oh, I can't for my flesh's sake, but I can for Christ's sake. My flesh wants to tear him. Get him. My flesh wants to make fun of the Red Sox. But I won't. I'm going to forgive him for Christ's sake. Now, if you really are mad at somebody, you need to forgive them for Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. Sometimes my wife, she'll say, "Honey," as she's pulling a knife out of my back, And sometimes they're twisted. It takes a little time, and they have a little curve on them. You have to dig a little bit to get it out. But she'll pull that knife out, and she'll say, "Honey, you don't seem upset about this." I said, "I've already forgiven them. I can't do it for my sake, because for my sake, I take the knife and give it back to them, not in their hand. But for Christ's sake, you know what? I can. And you can too. But that's to love mercy. It's to look for mercy. Do you understand? To love mercy is to pursue mercy. But I don't want people to do me wrong. I understand that. But to love mercy is to pursue mercy. As Jesus hung on the cross and said, "Father, forgive them." It's to go to God and say, "God, I want you to forgive this person, though what they did was not right, and what they did hurt me. But God, please forgive them. And God, help me to forgive them." It's to love mercy. Again, I'm with you on this. It's a whole lot easier to offer a bullock. You know, Brother Hawkins, when you were hurt so bad you were given a choice to forgive somebody or not, and it was unbelievable, still amazes me. But it sure would have been easier. I guarantee it would have been a lot easier just to get a bullock and offer it. Would have been a lot easier just to say 30 or 40 Hail Marys. Would have been a whole lot easier just read some passages of the Word. Would have been a lot easier. And you know what? It'd be a whole lot easier for us. But your religion isn't going to take care of it. You know what's going to take care of it? To do what He said. To obey. And He said to do justly and to love mercy. Love mercy. Who is it in your mind right now that you just can't stand? Who is it in your mind right now you can't? I mean, you cannot face them. You have no, you are just, okay, here's what you, love mercy. That means seek it, pursue it, and get it. Right here. In your heart, where you forgive. Not for your sake, for Christ's sake. Amen. And then what did He say? He said to walk humbly with thy God. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord? How can I come to the Lord? What can I do? Well, the request is made. What do I do? Man's been looking for a way. The response, man's, was religion. It always is. It's always easier just to go through some ritual and hope everything's okay. The revelation of God is, well, I've already shown you what to do. I told you what to do. I want your heart, and I want you to obey what I say. And He said, okay, well, what do I obey? Well, you have to do justly. That means you need to do right. And you have to love mercy. You need to forgive everyone. Amen. And then you just need to walk humbly with thy God. That's the opposite of pride. It's to prefer others, to do for them. It's to be humble. It's to put God above your wants, your desires, your thoughts. It's Abraham to Lot. You choose the land. Don't you love that? Every time I read that, I get those little, you know, those things that make you cold and all that and chills and all that. Why? Because it's just so good. Amen. Abraham says, Lot, you choose. What land do you want? Abraham had the right. Lot, I want you to choose. Isn't that something? He preferred him. How did he do that? He walked humbly with his God. It's David saying, I won't kill Saul. It's David, you know, what's he doing? He's walking humbly with his God. David, you know Saul's going to kill you. Yeah, I know, but I'm not going to kill Saul. I'm walking with God. God told me clearly, do not touch the Lord's anointed. And that man was anointed. I'm not going to mess with Saul. It's David. One of the most amazing stories in the Bible. It's David. I'm not going to hurt Shimei. That's the same guy that cussed him out. Yeah, that same guy that kicked stones at him and maybe threw stones and cursed his name when he was down. David said, I won't hurt him. Why? How can you do that, David? Well, because I'm walking with my God and I don't deserve anything. You know. And in fact, maybe Shimei, maybe God kind of allowed Shimei to come into my life so I could just be humbled a little bit more. Absolutely amazing. Humble means to lower. To put others above. Well, yeah, but who's going to think about me? Well, you're walking with your God. He wrote the book on giving. Who do you suppose is going to think on you? Who do you suppose is going to take care of you? Walk humbly with thy God. You see, it's all a matter of who you walk with. And when you're walking with God, He's going to take care of you. And you don't even have to worry about you. The request, wherewith shall I come before the Lord? The response of man, religion. The revelation from God, He has showed thee. What's the Lord require? He just wants my heart. He wants me to give Him my heart. That means, God, I'll obey you. I'll obey. What about when you sin? Oh, He covered that. I'll obey. I'll confess my sin. I'll get right with Him. And He'll forgive me, and I'll be able to go on and serve Him. The requirement, do justly. Love mercy, walk humbly with thy God. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. How many are just kind of going through the motions of religion? You've never been saved, you never trusted Christ. I would encourage you to get saved today if that's you. How many Christians just kind of go through the motions of religion? You're not really obeying God, not interested in the things of God, not really interested in God's will. Doing what God wants. You hold on to bitterness and anger. How many, you just kind of go through, it's a religious thing that you do. Give me thine heart. That's what I want, God says. You say, preacher, God's spoken to my heart about something today. Please pray for me. Raise your hand all over. Slip it up. Thank you. Thank you. Father, I pray that we would give you our hearts today. I don't want to be just a formal church that goes through motions. God, I want to be the kind of place, and I want to be the kind of person that pleases you. And I pray that you would help us to never think that the bullocks and the oil and the works and the sitting in the pew and lighting candles or whatever it might be, Lord, that's what it is that you're after. May we realize, Lord, every day, more and more, you want us. Bless the invitation, please. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.